You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm. Ross Briley, Gareth Topham and Tom Morley are the team in the studio. Very busy day of racing to look forward to as well. We've got Newbury in Nottingham in the afternoon on the turf, accompanied by All Weather Racing at Wolverhampton. Evening action at Thirsk, Newmarket and Chelmsford City. A couple of meetings over the Irish Sea as well. We'll get the best of the action from the Curragh and Tramore. My name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stevie?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
I'm all right, yeah. It's been a fair while since I've done a podcast with you.
Well, we have.
I think we're talking either months or years since we last did a podcast together.
Well, it's definitely not days or weeks. So
it's definitely not.
It's one or the other two.
Hours? Is it hours? No, it's not hours.
Yeah. Well, it is hours, but it's just not for how many.
It's a large number of hours. Yeah, I mean, good racing coming up over the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a little look ahead to York because the 4 days there are just superb. We're going to look at some of the racing on Friday as well. I really like the Ebor Festival. It's a festival now. Everything's a festival.
Well, yeah. If you race more than one day, it's a festival, isn't it?
It's just great, isn't it? You've got the Judmont International, which is a superb Group 1 in its own right. Then you've got the likes of the Nunthorpe, which is one of the best Group 1 sprints around. You've got the Ebor itself, which is a nice big open betting heat. You got the Yorkshire Oaks, where we'll see an Able by the looks of things this year. It's just tremendous, isn't it?
It is tremendous. And obviously, you mentioned the Ebor there. It's worth £1 million, as is the Judmont International. So, you know, no race worth less than £70,000 over the 4 days as well. And that includes the two-year-old maiden. And there's some great supporting races. The City of York, obviously the Gymcrack, the Lowther, the Lonsdale, Stradivarius likely to line up there as well. Yeah, it's a fantastic 4 days, Mark, which I really do enjoy. And I'm looking forward to this weekend as well, because I think things have been a bit quiet really since Glorious Goodwood. There's a sort of an early August lull for me when focus rightly is on things like the Shergar Cup and one or two other things that are going on, but there's nothing really to really get the juices flowing in the way that the Ebor meeting does, and it's precursed by a decent weekend that's coming up.
With regards to the Judmont International, at the moment, obviously it's not final declarations or anything like that, Enable is still in there. Is that, we know that the target is supposed to be the Yorkshire Oaks. Is that just leaving her in there just in case? Or is it that there might still be a chance that she runs in the Judmont?
I think the chance is the smallest of the small, to be honest. I think it's maybe if something goes wrong with King of Comedy, who's due to line up for the Gosden team. He's been left in the dozen entries in there. And maybe if the ground came up really testing, which I don't think it will, because obviously her stamina's a big thing. But they were quite clear after her win in the King George that they did not want her to have a hard race before the Arc, and fairly understandably so. So I'd be very surprised. So although there's 12 left, including Enable, I'm working firmly on the basis that there's 11 left and she's they've got nothing to lose by leaving her in, basically.
It is the right decision for me to go for the Yorkshire Oaks. It's her last run in the UK. Give her a slightly easier task. Let her go out on a victory. And don't bottom her, because the primary target is to try and win a third Arc. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, if you're talking purely as a preparation and a plan point of view, I think it's the correct decision. I know a lot of people have said, oh, she should go to the best race. She should go win the Judmont. But I think it's just smart planning.
Yeah, I think, I wouldn't disagree with that, to be honest. I think the only temptation for them, really, to run in the Judmont International is because it's sponsored by Judmont, who owns and bred Enable. If it was any other international, then I think the appeal, and that's not a besmirching the race in any way, shape or form, but in terms of what's best for the horse, the appeal to run is just because it is sponsored by Judmont. But it looks like they're going to go to the Yorkshire Oaks, and I concur with your view. I think it's the right choice because they've obviously got a bid at history that's not going to happen again. I would, you know, I was going to say it's not going to happen again in our lifetime, but it did happen with Trev, to be fair. And that was, you know, a couple of years ago. But it's not a regular occurrence, is it, that you get the horse going for the hat-trick. So, you know, they've got to do everything they can to maximise their chances of winning the Ark. And if foregoing the Judmonts International for the Yorkshire Oaks is that, then so be it.
And of course, she'll go down in racing history if she lands a third Ark. So why do anything to hamper that chance?
Exactly, yeah. I agree entirely.
Ella Calm looks like he's going to turn up as well. Do you give him a chance now? He obviously had a really exciting two-year-old campaign. A bit disappointing at three, and seems to be getting back towards his best, perhaps, as a four-year-old.
Yeah, they seem to have finally ironed out the one or two problems that they've had with him, haven't they? And he's come back to form with winning the listed race at Sandown, I think the Gala Stakes, that is, and then reversing form with a Dabe from the Wolverton at Royal Ascot when winning the York Stakes last time out. Obviously, a Dabe has given that form a nice boost because he won the Rose of Lancaster last weekend, but I think that form overall is still good, solid Group 2 form, but it's not quite good enough to win this, I don't think. I can imagine him running well, finishing 4th, maybe 5th, beating 3 or 4 lengths, but I just can't quite envisage him winning.
According to the betting looks like this. Crystal Ocean, 11-8, 3-1 King of Comedy. Japan is 5-1 with Magical, 8-1 Circus Maximus. Ella Calm is 10s, 16s, Lord Glitters, 20s bar those. As it stands on the William Hill website, if you had to pick a winner now, what would you go with?
Well, I absolutely love Japan, Mark, and I backed him, the horse, that is. I've not been to the place, so I can't comment. And I backed him in the Derby and then was really annoyed with myself that I didn't follow him in again when he won at Royal Ascot. I backed him when he won in France. And if this was over a mile and a half, I would be all over him like the proverbial rash, quite frankly. But the drop back to a mile and a quarter just tempers my enthusiasm marginally. But when you look and he's 5-1, which is the same price as Magical, and I think he's a better horse than Magical. King of Comedy obviously stepping up in trip on what we've seen from him so far. Frankie Dettori already provisionally jocked up to ride him, and that lends even more credence to the fact that you'd think that Enable's not going to run. He stayed on tremendously well, didn't he, to just get touched off by Circus Maximus, and I fancy him too. Reverse the form. He's got two siblings who've won over this trip, including Star of Seville, who was trained by John Gosden as well, and actually managed to win over this course and distance when she won the Musa Dora in 2015. So in theory, the trip should be fine for King of Comedy. But I'm going to keep the faith. Crystal Ocean, very rock-solid, reliable individual. I think he's better over a mile and a half as well, actually, than he's over a mile and a quarter. And I'm going to stick with Japan. I'm going to keep the faith.
5-1 as well, you could go each way. If
yeah, exactly. Yeah, with the, you know, it's going to be, say, of the 11 that are left, you could probably envisage at least 8 or 9 of those will probably turn up. It'll only be Aidan O'Brien who just probably moves the pieces on the chessboard to decide which ones line up with Japan. And if it's Japan and Magical, I'd fancy Japan to beat Magical. And if it's Japan and Circus Maximus, I'd fancy him to beat Circus Maximus as well of the O'Brien horses. And Crystal Ocean, rock solid, as I say, in the form of his life, but by no means unbeatable. So I'd go with I think value at 5-1 as well. I'll go with Japan because he's improving rapidly for me.
Those prices are at the time of recording as well. There might be one or two changes as the day progresses, given that the news of the entries and stuff was going to change pretty soon. Let's look ahead to the feature race on the Saturday, the Nunthorpe Stakes, Group 1 over 5 furlongs. Interesting because it's looking like 10 Sovereigns is going to take on Batash, which gives us a real mouth-watering head-to-head. 10 Sovereigns actually the favourite at the moment at 2-1. Batash 9-4. 5-1 for Mab's Cross, who went close in this not too long ago. Ayali is 10-1. 10-1 Soldiers Call, 14s Forever in Dreams, along with Invincible Army and 16s or bigger for the rest. We get this with these big sprints, don't we? We get two priced up as if it should be between those two. Then it's Mab's Cross, third favourite. And then the rest of them.
If 10 Sovereigns runs, I think he will beat Batash. Batash, on his best, is blistering, isn't he? And we know that he is, but he's also wholly unreliable. He's also been to the Nunthorpe twice and been beaten. They've actually been arguably his weaker performances in the last couple of years. When you sort of take his racing post ratings, His two Nunthorpe runs have been down the bottom end of what he's achieved, to be honest, in the last couple of years. And so I'd be keen to take on Battash. Aidan O'Brien, it's a while now, but he has got the angle of winning the July Cup and then going back to five and winning the Nunthorpe. He did it with both Mozart and Stravinsky at the turn of the century. And the blistering pace that 10 Sovereigns shows, I think he's not going to show be inconvenienced in any way, shape or form by dropping back to five. Bit of news which I thought was interesting. Mabs Cross not going to be ridden by Paul Mulrennan next week either. Gerald Mosse going to be back in the saddle. Obviously, he rode her in the Labbé at Longchamp last year. But the fascinating one is Ayali for me, for Simon Crisford's team. Obviously, because he's a two-year-old, he will be receiving £22 from 10 Sovereigns and a couple more as well from Battash. Because of the weight for age scale.
Yeah, he was enough 8-stone-1.
Yeah. But I do note, just as we speak now, looking back through his form, he's declared to run in the pre-mornay on Sunday at Deauville. So he's not going to line up. So that really just solidifies my thoughts behind 10 Sovereigns, really, to be honest. I think Battash, given his form at York, is very much worth taking on. And given his unreliability generally, he's worth taking on. And 10 Sovereigns to win. And I think if he's going to have a bet at the moment, Mabs Cross each way at 5-1, you're not going to go too far wrong at all, because she's going to be there or thereabouts.
Second by a nose to Alfa Delfini. It was the smallest margin nose you've ever seen back in 2018. And 5-1, great each way bet for me, Mabs Cross as well. Just want to talk about Batasha's attitude, because it's obviously talked about no end whenever he's running. And last season we saw the worst of him at times. Is he perhaps a little bit more straightforward this time around? His form this year is very good.
Yes,
and he's not shown those characteristics.
I think you're actually right. I think I was, it is talked about, as you say, and I think I've probably just fell into that stereotype, because when you do look at his three runs this year, he has run up to not quite his best. His best being his Prix de Labbé win in 2017 and his Goodwood win last year. But not far off his best, and he's been consistent in those three runs as well, in beating Alfa Delfini, just failing to beat Blue Point and then Hootson last time out. But there is still something nagging at the back of my mind, particularly about York as well, because he's gone there twice and ran poorly. If you can call being beaten 2.5 lengths, running poorly last year by Alfa Delfini, a horse who he has subsequently beaten. And I just think 10 Sovereigns is on an upward curve. And if Battash goes too quick or doesn't get things run the way he needs them to be, he's more likely to fall apart than 10 Sovereigns is, because I think he's more amiable.
The numbers for Battash, by the way, last time he clocked 50 miles an hour, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's the way that Goodwood is plays to that sense. Yeah, the downhill. So he's not going to do that at York.
56 seconds it took him.
Yeah, which is remarkable. Just an unbelievably quick time. Yeah. And if he shows his best, it will be a hell of a race between the two.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm afraid I've taken against him and I'm not prepared to be turned.
Yes, he was clocked at, where's the number? 50 miles an hour, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've talked long enough about that. 10 Sovereigns and Mabs Cross, the two that Stephen will be looking at in the Nunthorpe.
Yeah. Not original, I'm afraid, but...
You can only find the winners, though.
Well, I think that one of those two are probably likely to win, so there's not a lot else you can do. I think Soldier's Call is also worthy of an honourable mention. He's run a couple of good races as a three-year-old this year, and it is hard for three-year-old sprinters, to be fair to them. He's third to Blue Point and Battash. Does that mean he should be four times the price of Battash? Maybe not, but he did run poorly at the Curragh last time, which tempers enthusiasm.
Let's turn our attention to Friday's action then, because time is getting away from us a little bit. The 3:30 at Newbury is where we're going to start. We're going to look at that listed race, and then we're going to look at the two Group 3s at the Curragh as well. The 3:30 at Newbury is now known as the Byerley Stud Stakes. It was the St Hugh Stakes, a listed race for two-year-old fillies, and quite an open look to this time around, Stephen. We've got a fairly big field, 13 of them, probably going to be 7-2, 4-2 in the field kind of thing, and who would you side with?
Well, it's a fascinating race, actually, Mark, isn't it? Because, as you say, it's a big field for this kind of contest, and I think there's a lot of them trying to sort of pick up some black type, because it's the last 5-furlong sprint for two-year-old fillies of pattern quality this year. So, hence, we've got a good field. Good Vibes is likely to be favourite or towards the top of the betting, I would have thought, for David Evans and and Adam Kirby, good winner at both Salisbury and over this trip at York. She then missed a couple of months, and obviously something couldn't have been quite right with her for them to forego Royal Ascot. I don't think that was a decision they probably would have taken if they had the choice. And ran well. First time over six, encountering good to soft ground. And it's a stiff six at Ascot as well in the Princess Margaret. Just faded basically late in the day, shaping as though that she, you know, basically didn't stay. So the drop back to five. Ground, well, it's going to be a wet day on Friday. I think she'd be fine with a bit of cut in the ground, but wouldn't want it desperate. And I think she's the one that's the one they all have to beat. In terms of the opposition, Divine Spirit was a very impressive winner at Windsor first time out, but outclassed at Ascot and didn't do much better last time out at Newmarket either. And one that has caught my eye, Seize the Time, who's trained by Carl Burke down at the bottom. She was well fancied when winning at Beverley on debut. She's got group race entries throughout the course of the year. She's entered in the Lowther, although obviously she's probably not going to run there next week if she runs here. She's also entered the Cheveley Park as well. And Carl Burke isn't one that is, as I said, some of them I think are probably pot hunting for a bit of black type. He's not one that would do that, I don't think, unless the horse really does have the ability to do it. And she was impressive at Beverley, as I say, on that first start. So I thought she was really, really interesting as well. And then the other one who I'll give a mention to, because it's an open race, but I don't think there's that many we've got really rock-solid claims, is Al Rea from Simon Crisford's team. Two-year-olds have been going well all year. Really highly tried. Fifth to raffle prize on her second start. It was a good run at Royal Ascot. Fourth behind Liberty Beach, also at Sandown, wasn't a bad run. And although it was only a two-runner race at Lingfield, she didn't have to come out of a canter to get her head in front there last time out, which would have done nicely for her confidence as well. So those would be the three main ones for me. And I think if you pinned me down, I would probably back Al Rea.
Al Rea then the selection for Stephen, trying to follow up that recent success in the 3:30 at Newbury. On to the 6:15 at the Curragh next. This is the Irish St Ledger Trial Stakes, a group three over a mile and three quarters. A decent field, even though there's only six of them lining up here, and Master of Reality, I imagine, will be somewhere near the top of the betting. Officially the highest rated of these now, and that third placed effort in the Ascot Gold Cup last time was very, very good. If you take that form literally, he should be winning a Group 3 here.
He should. It was by far a career best from him. He'd obviously won first time out at Navan over this trip when he'd won the Vintage Crop. He was disappointing in the Savile Beg Stakes shortly afterwards at Leopardstown, but he ran a career best when 66-1, as you say, in the Ascot Gold Cup. But you've got a classic winner in there in Capri as well, who I'm still really disappointed by him, basically. I mean, he was in front of Master of Reality at Leopardstown. He was behind him at Navan. He showed one or two bits of forms last year to show that he was still, you know, not completely devoid of the ability he showed. I mean, if he can get anywhere near his defeat of Cracksman in the Irish Derby, or his defeats of Crystal Ocean, Stradivarius, Rekindling and Coronet in the St Ledger, he should absolutely walk all over these. But unfortunately, he hasn't done it this year. And so, interesting that Ryan Moore's down to ride Southern France, because he's a little bit underwhelming for me. What I'm going to go with is Eminent Authority down at the bottom. I fancied him at Royal Ascot when he ran in the Queen's Vase. Didn't run too badly when he finished fifth that day, but he was given a lot to do by Jamie Spencer from a long way back, and he was never getting on terms with the leaders on that occasion. But he was ridden by Declan McDonough on his first two starts. He's back in the plate again, and he's the only three-year-old in the lineup, so he gets a lovely weight for age pull as well. And I'm going to keep the faith with Eminent Authority to hopefully fulfil that early promise and maybe beat his elders in this Irish Ledger Trial.
Okay, I presume he'll be a pretty decent price there as well, because obviously you've got the sexier profiles of the proven classic performers and such, and Group 1 performers. So interesting. Stephen going with Eminent Authority there then in the 6:15 at the Curragh. Final race we look at is the 6:45 at the Curragh. This is the Royal Whip. Mile and a quarter in front of them for this Group 3. We've got a field of seven set to go to post for this, and I suppose all eyes will be on Sir Dragonette, who looks very exciting going into the Epsom Derby. Finished fifth that day. Haven't seen him since. Does he regain the winning thread?
Well, what concerns me about him here is his first run over a mile and two, because his first win at Tipperary, mile 4.5. Chester, mile 4.5 when he beat Norway. Mile and a half in the Derby, beaten 3/4 of a length. So they obviously think he's a stayer, I assume, to start him off over an extended mile and a half. And the way he ran there at Tipperary and Chester suggests that he really does stay very well. So I'm half surprised he's not actually running in the Irish Ledger Trial, to be honest. And although the ground is yielding and there's more rain forecast, it will, I think, really need to be heavy for him to put his best foot forward. And I think that dropping trip really does worry me. Guaranteed, just touched off by Latrobe over a mile and a half last time out. Good win here in June when he beat Riven Light, and disappointed in between in the Irish Derby. But I think anything to do with the Irish Derby might as well just be forgotten, as though it doesn't exist, quite frankly, because it was ridiculous. And the one I'm going to go with is Buckhurst, trained by Joseph O'Brien. Made a winning debut at Leopardstown on soft ground, so we know that conditions will pose no problems for him. And he's steadily improved throughout the season since then, culminating in a course and distance win beating Blenheim Palace last time out. He's a rock solid sort of performer for the Aidan O'Brien team. Another step forward here, but I just think with the concerns about the trip for Sir Dragonet and with Buckhurst on a bit of an upward curve, I will take him to win again over course and distance.
Okay, so you're going for a couple of small upsets then, I suppose, on Friday night at the Curragh.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, and Ryan Moore's riding cover for Aidan O'Brien. And when I was on the radio recently, Mark, we had a long discussion about Ryan Moore and whether he's riding as well as he can at the moment.
Yeah, we've had many an email saying such.
And I personally don't think he is, so.
No, well, his numbers are nowhere near as good as they have been in recent seasons. So
the facts speak for themselves.
Make of that what you will.
Yeah, so can I back Sir Dragonet at a short price when I've got concerns about the ground? And to be fair, with the O'Brien horses anyway, generally, you know, he gets a lot from them, but they run a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't mess about, does he? Doesn't wrap them up in cotton wool, which I think is to be applauded, to be fair.
Yeah, I do as well, to be fair. Yeah, fair play.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you, Mark.
Been a pleasure.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
All the best, Mark.
That's the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing. Live from 1:30 p.m. on Racing Radio, Ross Brierley, Gareth Topham and Tom Morley, the team in the studio, Wolverhampton, Newbury and Nottingham in the afternoon, Thirsk, Newmarket and Chelmsford City in the evening. We'll get you those group races from the Curragh as well, and the best of the action at Tramore where it fits. So plenty to get stuck into. Very busy Friday. Do join the team for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.